Well, good morning. That little bumper, we call it, is pretty exciting because that's what we're going to talk about over the course of the next several weeks, is how to hear from God. And we'll get into that in just a minute, but my name is Trevor Kaufman. If you came in late, I'm the campus pastor here, and I'm excited to be with you this morning as we continue or begin this series, rather. And so when I was growing up, I don't know if anybody here had this in their house, but when I was growing up, we didn't really have like digital TV, right? We had cable TV, and then even beyond that, we had like antenna TV. And now today, you can still use the bunny ears and all that kind of stuff, but it's still based off a digital system. I don't know, it's crazy. But when I was growing up, it was all like through the sound waves, right? And so my house had this massive antenna outside of it. It was like 20 feet tall, and it had a thing on top of it that would actually spin. And so we had this little receiver on top of our TV that we would turn whenever we wanted to watch certain channels, and that thing would spin, and we would do this, and we would watch the TV. It was all full of static, and it would slowly, slowly clear up, and we would have to like manipulate to get it right, just right. If I was outside playing, I could hear it moving, and I would look up and be like, oh, my parents are trying to watch something now, because you see this like massive antenna moving. Did anybody else ever have one of these things, or was I just like the most random person ever? Because I didn't see them in a lot of houses, but we had one, and I don't know if it's just because, I don't know why, but we did. Anyway, it was all about getting the most clarity out of the image that we were trying to see, right? And so, as funny of an analogy as that is, I think as God is speaking to us, we are constantly trying and wanting to gain more and more clarity about what he is in fact saying, because the more clear we are on what he's speaking to us, the more we actually can get to know him. Because our Christian faith goes so far beyond just knowing about God. It's so much more than that. Being a Christian is not just knowing a lot about God, but it means growing more in our relationship with God and experiencing more of him each day in our lives as he relates to us and as he communicates to us. I mean, even if you think about your spouse or your best friend, it's one thing to know about them, right? I know that my wife has short brown hair and brown eyes and is approximately 5 feet tall, right? But everybody in this room can learn that in about 2 minutes, right? But as I continue to experience her, I learn more about her character, her values, her sacrificial love, the fact that she'll do anything for anybody almost to a fault, right? And I laugh because there's just a lot going on right now. But anyway, so it's just incredible. But the more you get to experience your friends or your spouse, the more you get to know them. And the more you understand, you can understand their mannerisms, you can understand how they're communicating to you, and when they say something, what it really means to you. It's the same exact thing with God. God wants us to not just know about him, but he wants us to truly experience him. And we can read all through scripture. In fact, in a few weeks, we're going to talk about the Bible and how we can read all about God and know all sorts of things about God. But until we actually start to experience him, it's just knowledge, and it doesn't actually go very far. Our mission, as I've said many times already this morning, is to pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, and participate with the Holy Spirit. It's great if everybody in this room could recite that and say that, but it's an entire other thing to actually live it out and to pursue God intentionally each and every day through prayer and devotion and scripture and accountability with others. To proclaim Jesus, maybe not even only with your words, but as you love others sacrificially, like we've talked about in the past. And to participate with the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit specifically. But today, we're going to introduce this idea that God does, in fact, still speak to us. And one of the critical elements in understanding God and experiencing him in our daily lives is knowing when God is speaking to us and actually being able to understand with clarity his voice. In fact, listen to the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1, because God has always been speaking. We just saw that in the video that just played before this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." And so we see all sorts of different ways that God speaks to his creation all throughout the Old Testament. He would speak through prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Malachi, Jeremiah, and he would speak through these prophets ultimately, usually to speak to a larger group of people about his purpose and his ways. Most of the time through these Old Testament prophets, it was to speak through to the Israelite nation as they were continually sort of relapsing and falling back into the sin that God commanded them not to do. And so we see this take place through individuals like prophets in the Old Testament. And then we see God speak directly to people as well, like Abraham and Moses. You see these stories of scripture in the Old Testament that are absolutely fascinating, where God is like basically literally having conversations with these guys, like I am with you. And it was just an incredible relationship. It was this friendship. And they understood the awe and wonder and power of God, but they were in this incredible relationship with God the Father that was so much beyond a creator and the creation. It was a relationship. And we're still expected to experience that today. And then he would speak through crazy ways, like burning bushes and donkeys and dreams and visions. Dreams is hilarious because just before service, Allison, who runs our children's department, she said, I never told you, but I had an interesting dream while I was on vacation. She's like, I dreamed that I came back from vacation and we closed South Creek. And everybody's like, why did we close South Creek? And they're like, well, Trevor left to go start a kindergarten ministry. I'll tell you, if that's prophetic, I am in trouble, because if there's anything that I love you all with your children, but that's not going to be what I leave this church to do. So dreams are incredible, right? But we need to be able, and this is a great example of being able to discern, was that actually from God or was that just like some subconscious insanity, right? So God speaks through the Old Testament and he still speaks into the New Testament. Look at the very next verse in verse 2. It says this, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And so God continued to speak. And as Jesus came into the picture, as Jesus came down to earth as God in human form, he spoke through Jesus in powerful and dynamic ways. And then as Jesus left, he left his Holy Spirit to continue the work and to continue to speak through the disciples and the apostles and all sorts of things. And so Jesus' words and the apostles' words are all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And these are God's words that are recorded in the Bible for you and I to be able to hear, to understand, and to relate to, and to be able to connect with our Father with. And so ultimately, God has been speaking all along from the Garden of Eden, all throughout the Old Testament, into the New Testament as Jesus comes into this world, and then he continues to speak through the power of his Holy Spirit, and he's still doing it today. The same power, the same Spirit. The problem is there's so many other voices out there that compete with that we need to be able to accurately tune in with clarity to what God is saying to us. So learning to hear and identify the voice of God in your life is key. And so Christians often ask, I have asked this a lot. This is not something I haven't just figured out all of a sudden. How can I know if God's trying to speak to me? How can I actually know this? Or in other words, what does God's voice sound like? Is it sound like thunder? Does it sound like a whisper? And all throughout scripture, we see God's voice sound and look like different things like we've already talked about. But so that's what we want to explore throughout this series. And we're not going to figure it out all together like and have a definitive, like it's going to sound exactly like this. But there's a combination of a whole bunch of factors that we're going to explore that when put together, give us clarity as to how God is speaking to us. There's actually a Christian resource that came out several years ago called Experiencing God. And this was written by Henry Blackaby, and it answered the three following questions: how to hear from God, how to know his will, and how to identify affirmation in what God is calling me to do. So it would answer these three questions, and you may think, well, why are those questions so important? Well, because of, like I just already said, there are so many voices out there trying to pull our attention that we need to understand who and what is actually being taught and told to us by God the Father. Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but it's the Lord who determines our steps. We can make our plans, but it's the Lord who determines our steps. You see, what happens is you and I've done it, and I'll probably do it again, we come up with this idea or this plan or this agenda, and last week we talked about the fact that oftentimes we need to sacrifice our agendas and our plans as we worship God, right? Because God does, in fact, know best. But what happens is Christians, non-Christians, but especially even Christians, they make up their own plans. They're like, I'm going to do this. This is my plan for my life. I'm going to do this. And then after I do that, I'm going to end over here. And then I'm going to do this. And I can see it. It's all road mapped out. And there's wisdom in that at times. But oftentimes what happens is we create this plan or we create this agenda. And then we're like, hey, God, why don't you come in and join me along and help me make this all happen? Which is completely backwards from the way God has intended it to be. because he has, in fact, planned something for each and every one of us that is incredible, that we don't even begin to understand on our own. And so as we learn to hear from him, we then get to enter into the plan that he has already created for us that will always be better than the plan that we create for ourselves. And so we need to understand how it is we participate with him in the plan that he's got for us rather than trying to create our own plan for ourselves. Ephesians 2:10 says this. This is Paul speaking to the church of Ephesus. For we are God's handiwork, masterpiece, creating Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's creation. He loves us. We are his prized possession, and he wants the best for us, and he wants us to understand and know his will as we walk through this life, and he has been planning things all along for each and every one of us to be a part of. You see, he has specific plans for our lives that he has prepared for us long ago, before we have ever had any plans of ourselves. In fact, he's been doing this behind the scenes. Listen to this. God is always working behind the scenes in your life, whether we realize it or not. In the chaos, in the tension, in the good times, in the bad, God is working in ways that sometimes we just don't even understand. He's constantly preparing you for what he has prepared for you. He's constantly preparing you. This process is a continual process for what he has already prepared for you. And that is his good, pleasing, and perfect will, which we read about in Romans 12:2. And so today we officially begin our all-church journey, When God Speaks. Now this is taken from this Experiencing God resource by the Blackabees. And so this is written by Henry and his son, Richard Blackaby. And it's an incredible resource that we are going to go through together as a church. Ideally, you're in some sort of a community group, whether it's men's, women's, or couples group, in which you can engage with this together. We have the resource available. We've pretty much sold out of it. There are a few books left over there that you could grab at the end of service. But we're going to walk through this together. And at least I would encourage you to do this by yourself, but the whole point of doing this together, you will get even more out of it than you could ever imagine. So God still speaks to us. He still speaks to us today. Let's look at an incredible analogy that God uses in Scripture. And to give you a little bit of context, we're going to be in John 10. And Jesus is teaching his disciples and some of the religious people of the day, also known as the Pharisees, about how we can relate and experience God still today. And this still rings true for you and I today. But he uses this illustration of a gate, sheep, and a shepherd. Now, a shepherd was a very common occupation in that day. And we've taught in the past that God would often use very common occupations or scenarios so he could relate to people. He would use parables or analogies that people were familiar with so that they could learn about things that they were not yet familiar with. It was a beautiful way that Jesus taught, and we sometimes still try and do it here in messages and all sorts of different things. But he uses this analogy of a gate, a sheep, and a shepherd. And it's in John 10. And so I'm going to read this for you. It's not actually on the screen. If you happen to have your Bible with you, which I realize this day and age is not a common occurrence, there's a Bible in front of you. I was actually going to look and see what page it was on before service, and I forgot to. So, but I would encourage you. What was 870. You know what, everybody? Pull it out. We don't do this often, and we should do it more. It's right in front of you. It's sitting there for your pleasure and enjoyment. Okay? Go to page 870. I may not be reading the exact translation as you, but you'll get the point. 870, and we're going to read just from verses 2 through 14 together. All right, so let me read this. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus uses figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. So in this point, Jesus is explaining them how a shepherd works with a sheep. And they're all like, basically, yeah, we get it, we know. This is like something we kind of understand already. But he was trying to speak to something so much greater. He was pointing to himself ultimately. And so then he transitions into this because he knows what they're thinking. He says, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now, this is an incredible passage in which, if you haven't figured it out yet, you and I are the sheep. And you're thinking probably, well, why do we have to be the dumb animal in the story? Right? Let me tell you something. Sheep aren't quite as dumb as you think they are. Check this out. I learned this as we were kind of doing this message together. Sheep are gentle, sensitive animals who are actually emotionally complex. Sheep can, listen to this because I can't do this. Sheep can recognize faces of at least 50 other sheep and can remember 50 different images for up to 2 years. I don't really know how they figured this out, but I'm sure they did some sort of weird study. But I can't do that. I don't know about you. I mean, I guess maybe I could come up with 50 people I recognize. Whatever, I'll stop trying to compare myself. When they experience stress or isolation, they show signs of depression, similar to those that humans show by hanging their heads and avoiding positive actions. They like to sulk in the corner. My kids like to do that all the time. And I find myself doing it once in a while too. Despite the popular belief that sheep are stupid, they're actually quite intelligent. They have very impressive cognitive ability, and just like humans, they form deep and lasting bonds with each other. They stick up for one another in fights, and they grieve when they lose a friend. They experience all the same emotions that we do, including fear, joy, boredom, anger, and happiness. So what an incredible analogy for Jesus to use in this situation. But it doesn't stop in just sort of their mannerisms and kind of who they are. It stops with how they, or it continues with how they engage with the shepherd. And this is where it gets incredible. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. They can actually recognize the voice of their shepherd. And then the sheep ignore the voices of others. They will intentionally ignore the voices of others. But I think you and I struggle with that more than anything, right? Because here's the reality. There's an enemy that the scripture says, there's an enemy, a thief, who wants to separate and tear apart the sheep and their effectiveness to be together, right? And their safety in being together. It's like a sheep in wolves' clothing comes in and scatters it. And so you and I are in this culture and in this world where there's constant confusion, there's constant voices coming at us from every angle. And if we need to be more than ever accurately, clearly tuned in to the voice of God to understand what is in fact the voice of God and what is the voice of culture, what is the voice of politics, what is the voice of opinion, what is the voice of preference, what is the voice of this and that, and but what is the actual true voice of God? And so this is what Jesus is speaking to in this moment. So sheep aren't as stupid as we think they are. They can recognize the voice of their shepherd, and they ignore the voice of strangers. And in doing this, they're able to protect themselves from the enemy's attacks. So what an incredible analogy that Jesus uses. I mean, it's incredible for us today, but think about how incredible it was then when this was an occupation that was regularly in play. And so God relates himself into the story. He says, God's sheep go in and out of the gate, and Jesus himself is the gate. He is the one that connects us, you and I, to our Heavenly Father. It's this continual thing that takes place. Jesus saying that he is the way to God the Father. He and only he is the way. Now, wouldn't it be cool if we could see this in action? Well, we can. So I saw this clip a few years ago. Maybe you've seen this clip. I don't know. It's fascinating. But it is literally the passage we are reading put into video. Check this out, and then we'll talk about it in just a second. It's incredible.
One more time.
Ha 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 ha
Actually seen that take place? It's powerful. It's incredible. And no, that wasn't Dwight Schrute from The Office. But it's like, it's unbelievable. Like, just imagine if you and I had that much clarity to our Heavenly Father, to our Shepherd, that we could identify him when he speaks out to us above all the other noise, above all the other chaos in this life. The other voices speaking out, calling them. And they just ignore them. But then when they hear the voice of their Father, they come running. You and I are intended to be that way. Our good shepherd, Jesus, is constantly speaking to us, his sheep, through the power of his Holy Spirit, so that we can experience him and be led by him into all that he has for us in this life. And that is life to the full, just like we read in John 10. So when God does in fact speak, he does so to reveal a few different things. First of all, he speaks to reveal himself, his name, his character. All throughout scripture, we see him referred to as the God who provides, the God who heals, the God who is filled with peace. He is there for each and every one of us. And so many times he's given different descriptive character qualities in the name he's given. And so oftentimes when he speaks to us, he's doing so to reveal who he is and what he's like. And ultimately, that is what we should strive to be like as well. Second, he speaks to us to reveal his purposes, what he's about to do. So for an example, when he uses Moses in the burning bush, he speaks to him about his purpose for the kingdom of God. And in that instance, he was talking about the fact that Moses was going to go back and deliver and rescue the Israelites from bondage and slavery in Egypt and send them out and expand their kingdom in ways that you could never imagine. But ultimately, that is pointing to something even bigger in the fact that you and I are all delivered from the bondage of sin. And so he speaks to reveal his purposes through situations as well. And then he speaks to reveal his ways. The fact that we kind of already talked about this fact that his ways are better than our ways. In fact, it says that in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my ways are not your ways. And so when he speaks to us, he's revealing parts of his plan that he's already prepared for you and I to enter into. But it's understanding how to hear from him. And so over the course of the next 5 weeks, we're going to study 5 primary ways that God speaks to his people. And he does that 5 different ways. And there's other ways that he does that, but these are the 5 that we are going to specifically look at over the course of the next few weeks. First, he does through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, which is in fact his very own spirit, but the spirit has been on the earth from the day creation began up until today. And we're going to explore that next week. He speaks to us through his Bible, through the written and living words of God. He speaks to us through prayer and the conversation that you and I are intended to have with him. He speaks to us through the circumstances around us, in powerful ways that we'll get into a little bit in that week. And then he speaks to us through the church, which is other believers who know him and love him, and the wisdom and the guidance that collectively can come together. And so as we learn about each of these individual ways that God speaks to us, the idea is that as you're continuing to discern God's voice in your life, you'll be able to see echoes between all of these different aspects of how God is working. Because the reality is this: God will never contradict himself. He will never contradict his word, and he will never contradict his actions. And so if you are experiencing one thing in this aspect of things, if you're feeling you're receiving this through your prayer, but then scripture is saying this, but the church is telling you this, maybe you need to figure out what it is that God's speaking, or is that in fact the voice of God? But as you will learn to tune in with clarity to the voice of God, you will see overlap and consistency in all of these areas as you're learning to hear the voice of God. Again, this is a practiced reality. It's almost like learning a new language. And some of us have been doing it for a long time, and some of us are just sort of stepping into this reality. Maybe, like we talked about at the beginning, we know a lot about God. We know that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. But that's sort of where it stops. How do we start to experience God? And that's where we go next. And that's what we're going to do over the course of the next 5 weeks. And so we want to be able to partner with you and the Holy Spirit in equipping you how to discern God's voice and be able to respond in obedience to what God is asking us to do and in joining him in what he's already doing in the communities around us, in the church here, in our lives, in our schools, and in our workplaces. We want to be able to hear from God. And so each weekend, we're going to have a message like we are today, and then we're going to use the resource, When God Speaks resource, and you're going to use that as a personal daily devotional. And so if you've got that resource, in fact, can you hand me that book just in case somebody hasn't seen it? So we only have very few of these left, which is great. Most of you bought them. They're $10 suggested donation. There's a couple left over there. But you're gonna start, if you've got this book, you're going to start either this afternoon or tomorrow at some point, and you're going to go to week one, day one, and you're going to kind of walk through it. And then ideally, you're in some sort of a community group. Like I said, either men's, women's, couples, some sort of a community group that will go through this together. And most likely what will happen is on the day that your group meets, you'll go through that day's devotional together. And it'll be amazing how you pull different things from the same thing, and how God speaks to each and every one of you in unique and different ways. And so that's what's going to continue to happen over the course of the next 5 or 6 weeks. But the goal of this series is to be able to recognize God's voice and respond in obedience. And again, it's a lot easier said than done. But together, we can learn to at least take some steps forward in gaining clarity on hearing from God. So that's what we're going to do, and we're so excited about what God has in store for us, for this campus, for all of our campuses, for Revive Wesleyan in general, but we are looking forward to see how God is going to speak to us, and we're going to learn it together. So with that being said, let me pray, and then we are going to conclude our time together by acknowledging that the Spirit of the living God is in this place with us right now and will continue to go with us as we leave from here. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are, in fact, living. You are alive and active in each and every one of our lives. And we thank you for the fact that you do, in fact, speak to us still today. And yes, it's so hard at times to hear your voice because of the clutter and the static and the chaos in our lives and the voices that we have coming in from all angles all the time. But Lord, we ask that your Spirit would guard us from the things that are not of you and would open conduits to the things that are absolutely of you. And how can we learn to clearly hear what it is you're having us do, how it is that you're speaking to us. Lord, continue to work in and through us as we go from this place. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we acknowledge your Spirit in this place, even right now. We ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.